This podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to The Stand with Eamon Dunphy. Now, the gangland crime continues to be a major issue in this country, and the Special Criminal Court is the means for prosecuting most of those who are in the spotlight or in the guard's frame of reference. And yesterday at the Special Criminal Court, there was a life sentence given to a man who was a spotter for a murder gang. The gang had gone down, as it's put in the papers, a veteran criminal, Eamon Kelly, as he walked home on the north side. It's almost 9 years ago since that crime was committed. He'd been hanging around in a betting shop, but he was a man of considerable substance in the underworld, we are told. And yesterday, the man who was the spotter for the murder gang, Darren Murphy, was given a life sentence, a spotter. Well, we'll find out now because it's a pleasure to welcome Nicola Tallant to The Stand again. Nicola is, of course, Special Investigations Editor of the Sunday World and one of our leading crime journalists. Nicola, the spotter in this case, given a life sentence in the Special Criminal Court. And Eamon Kelly was a substantial figure in gangland back in the day.
He certainly was. And he lived till 65, which is a ripe old age for anybody who's involved in that world. Kelly was kind of a godfather, a mentor to many criminals that came up underneath him. He was somebody who had Republican leanings. And he was seen as kind of the go-to guy, I suppose, the last of that generation of criminals that, he would have stepped in to arguments and settled scores for people, usually with money. These days it's with bullets they do it. But he was a kind of an elder.
Yes.
In gangland and mentored quite significant gangland figures, including Eamon the Don Dunn, who took over that patch from Marlow Highland many years ago, having taken out his boss. And he mentored a lot of very significant criminals.
And the life sentence for what's called a spotter, now in some of the more recent cases as well, involving the Kinnahans and the Kinnahan-Hutch feud, there is a role in all of this, isn't there, for spotters, that is people who tail the victim, who work out what their habits are, what their roots are. And that is very much a part of the modus operandi for the Kinnahans, for example. And there have been people recently sentenced, given heavy sentences also, for being spotters.
Yeah, I mean, this man, Darren Murphy, was charged with murder. So there was only one sentence when he was found guilty of that, which was life. You know, you can see others will be charged on different offences. They can be charged. They're quite complex charges there in relation to putting GPS signals on cars and all this sort of stuff. But some of them can find themselves charged with murder when they won't have exactly pulled the trigger, but they'll have had a key and significant role in a murder. I know that Johnny Keogh, who's he's serving a life term in prison for the murder of Gareth Hutch, and his sister Regina Keogh, a mother of five, got life for murder because she had allowed her flat be used the night before it as a location where the killers could watch their target, Gareth Hutch, as he came out of his own flat the next morning. And she appealed that sentence, but got nowhere on appeal. So, yeah, there's one charge really for murder in this country. In other states and jurisdictions, you'll see there'll be different varying degrees of it. You know, you have first degree, second degree murders. You'll have people who will get heftier sentences depending on their role within a murder. But in Ireland, we have one charge and one sentence. And Darren Murphy was found guilty. He was seen as somebody who was part of that murder gang who in 2012 targeted Eamon Kelly and shot him dead in Colchester as he walked home from a bookies.
Yes.
Now, to set the scene around that time and from sort of the late into 2010 and, you know, the years before and after that, what was going on in Dublin's gangland at the time was a guy called Alan Ryan had taken control of the Real IRA, and he was going around and he was basically ordering protection money off all these criminals, but not just small time criminals. He was pushing around the big guys as well, and he was really causing ructions. And he had tread on a few too many toes, and you know, it was understood then eventually that a number of very significant gangland figures came together and decided that they were going to take Alan Ryan out, and he was indeed killed.
Yes.
And what happened then was there was retaliations and there was, you know, there was uproar really. Now, Ryan himself, even though he was taking this money off criminals, even the Real IRA itself divided about that and about what he was doing, because a lot of the money didn't seem to make its way up north into the hands of those in control. And there was accusations that the money was being pocketed, that it was being shared around a couple of the guys down south. So look, this world is always full of rumours and allegations and accusations of basically, you know, pocketing funds. And they're very, they're groups that are, it doesn't take much for them to divide, to split, to go to war, to implode. These paramilitaries that have emerged really from, originally from the Provos and the INLA, they're dividing and splitting constantly. You'd need a degree to follow who's who and who's in charge of them, you know. But that's what happened with Kelly. He was accused, he was blamed as being one of those that would have sanctioned the murder of Ryan, and he was targeted then himself.
Would the words IRA, or that slogan, as it were, and the Real IRA, that would be an attempt to separate and give more gravitas, should we say, to someone like Ryan, and perhaps to intimidate what might be called ordinary criminal gangs?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean
you could fight with another gang, or you could whatever. But if the word IRA is in the equation, that may make it seem like a different game altogether.
Yeah, like, I mean, in a lot of cases, some of these groupings, while they'll have some sort of interest, like Alan Ryan would have claimed to be a Republican, and his brother, by the way, was subsequently murdered as well. But
yes,
they would have claimed to be staunch Republicans, you know, and fighting the cause for Ireland. But they're not. I mean, they're criminal gangs, you know, operating under this, as you say, using the IRA in the title of their so-called grouping. They are really just criminal gangs involved in extortion. I mean, they're not fighting any cause for Ireland. And a lot of them have been found not to even understand the history of the struggle, or, you know, have any real understanding of what republicanism was and is. They are leftovers, I presume, and some of them even from a generation when, you know, which came and would have been born after the Troubles. And they really are just criminals largely, you know?
Yes.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Now, Nicola, a very important name in the Celtic Tiger era in Ireland, or a very prominent name, was the name Mansfield. The businessman, Jim Mansfield, was a major developer, and he had an airport, and he had a huge amount of real estate, and that whole family are irrevocably linked to the Celtic Tiger era of wealth, ostentatious wealth indeed, in many cases. However, yesterday, again in the courts, Jim Mansfield Jr., son of the late Jim Mansfield, was taken into custody. He's been found guilty of perverting the course of justice. Now, Jim Mansfield Jr. Was prominently involved in the social scene around Dublin at that time. The nightlife and all of that. However, the family did hit on hard times when the crash came, and NAMA appointed a receiver to Jim Mansfield Sr., the late Jim Mansfield Sr., in 2011. This is a steep fall. What lies behind this case?
Well, funnily, some of the same names as lie behind the case with Eamon Kelly. You know, when Kelly died that time, the eulogy at his funeral was read out by Desi O'Hare, the former INLA leader known as the Border Fox. Who was, you know, those of a certain age will remember the terror of the whole countryside in 1987 when John O'Grady, the dentist, was kidnapped. O'Hare was actually sentenced in 1987. It was probably the year before that. I was quite young at the time, but I do remember it. I remember being in the car with my mother dropping somebody somewhere down the country when the two of us were terrified because the Border Fox was on the run. He had kidnapped O'Grady, of course, and then gone on the run, and there was a huge manhunt for him.
O'Grady was a dentist who had his finger cut off, I think.
Yeah, and I think it was sent to a cathedral and, you know, horrendous, horrendous crime. And O'Hare was like really terrifying character who had was too mad for the provos, and they kind of pushed him out, and he had set up and joined up with the INLA. But, you know, O'Hare was a notorious character, and he read this eulogy to Eamon Kelly at the time, describing him as kind, courageous comrade. O'Hare was released under the terms, had been released under the terms of the Good Friday Agreement in 2006, and was a regular visitor to Kelly's house and friendly with the whole family. But so he showed up at that funeral, and the next time he kind of shows up bizarrely is in the Mansfield home in Saggart, beautiful property, which was really, you know, part of what they once were. And indeed, Jim Mansfield Sr. built up the family wealth, bought City West, developed City West and all the housing out there. But in 2011, when he went wallop, owing 200 million to the banks, a receiver was brought in and he was faced with losing it all. And as much as very wealthy people lose it all, I'm sure he was still going to keep his house and, you know, roof over his head and that kind of thing. But nonetheless, he and his son appear to have put together a business plan in order to claw back some of their assets after they were, you know, after these receivers came in. They identified between them three assets that they wanted back. One was Finstown House Hotel. Yes. The other was some properties in Tassagart. And the third was a site of land called Paddy Riley's Field, which has caused all the trouble, really, and has landed Jim Mansfield Jr. behind bars. They devised a plan to bring in a businessman who was to buy those properties at a certain price. I think actually Paddy Riley's Field, which had been valued at 30 million during the boom, was purchased for 800,000 under this deal. And in their mind, according to the evidence given to the Special Criminal Court, they were going to hold those properties for them. The Mansfields were going to raise some funds and buy them back. So they would be back kind of in business, you know.
Yes.
But everything went haywire. And as Jim Mansfield Sr. became sick and, you know, he was losing a battle with a terminal illness, his son took over these negotiations. They went sour. And according to evidence of the state witness, Martin Byrne, a former head of security at City West, members of these paramilitary factions started being brought in and were pretty much some of them living in the family home. Some of them, it was described in court, were using it as their offices. They were being brought in to help try and, I suppose, strong arm back these identified assets after the business deal went sour. Now, Jim Mansfield Jr., at the heart of this was the Byrne, who was the head of security. Following Jim Mansfield Sr.'s death, he was subject to a terrifying ordeal when he was brought to a meeting and supposedly with Desi O'Hare. And when he got there, Desi O'Hare was accompanied by Declan Whacker Duffy, another member of the INLA, and a group of five other men. He was bundled into a car, he was beaten, and he was brought to his home on a Mansfield property and ordered out of it. There was a standoff, and the guards basically came across what was happening, and all these guys were arrested, and the whole situation was laid bare. Now, O'Hare and Whacker Duffy are currently serving prison terms in relation to that kidnap. They pleaded guilty. But Jim Mansfield Jr. was brought before the courts charged with kidnap. He was acquitted of that yesterday, found not guilty. The judges said there wasn't enough evidence, basically, to, without any doubt, say that he knew what was going to happen. They didn't doubt the evidence of the state witness, Martin Byrne. They believed when he said he was brought to this meeting by Mansfield. They believed him when he said that Mansfield brought in a lot of these terrorists to help him claw back his assets. And but they said they had to stop short of believing that Mansfield knew exactly what was going to happen when he left Byrne with them.
Yeah, he was denied bail, Nicola, because he was found guilty of perverting the course of justice by ordering the destruction of CCTV footage,
yeah,
which showed him with Martin Byrne on the morning that Byrne was kidnapped by O'Hare and Whacker Duffy.
Yeah, it sort of, it was, the judge said that CCTV clearly, you know, showed his role in all of this, what turned out to be the kidnap, and that, you know, he had tried to have it wiped, the CCTV, or destroyed. And the guy that he gave it to, Patrick Byrne, actually thought better of it and didn't do what he was told, so that CCTV was in existence for the case. So he's been found guilty of perverting the course of justice, which actually can be quite a serious offence.
And he's been denied bail for the obvious reasons.
Well, yeah, I didn't realise, but that offence can carry up to life imprisonment, depending on the seriousness of it. He was denied bail because under the normal course of events, if somebody's found guilty of a crime, they will be put into custody pending sentencing. So he's spent his first night in jail last night, which must be very deeply shocking for him. And, you know, I don't believe he was expecting that at all. He won't be sentenced until February the 7th. So he has a few weeks ahead unless he can apply. Now, his senior counsel did ask the court yesterday to allow him out on bail pending the sentencing because he has adhered to all the bail conditions so far. But that was refused. I don't know whether they have room to apply to another court for bail for him or if that's it until February the 7th. But nonetheless, he looks as if he could get a custodial sentence in that he's in prison now. Sometimes under that charge, people will be given a suspended sentence depending on the seriousness of the crime and depending on whether or not they have previous convictions. So it remains to be seen if he gets a few years behind bars or not. But even a night, to be honest with you, a guy like him who enjoyed chauffeur driven service from the staff, who had a jacuzzi on the roof of his Palmerstown house mansion, who collected llama for the gardens and other exotic pets. I think he had one of those ostriches at one point. I kind of remember having a word with it one day. A bit afraid of those things. But like he had some lifestyle, like he was.
Yeah, so he was one of the poster boys, I suppose. The whole Mansfield idea, as you say, they also had a very fine golf course they built out there. And they sort of were emblematic in many ways of the success, quote unquote, of Ireland in the Celtic Tiger era. Just to briefly say that all these cases, including one that's due to start soon, the terrible murder of Keane Mulready Woods, which people will remember from happened in January 2020. Mm. And he was a kid, and he really was. His body was found, his body parts were found in a number of different locations. It was a shocking crime. It's linked to the Drogheda gang feuds. That case also starts soon. It will be heard in the Special Criminal Court. And of course, the case of the spotter, Darren Murphy, that also was in the Special Criminal Court, and indeed Mansfield case as well. People will be maybe watching a series that RTÉ are running on Monday nights now, and last night it involved the Salins train robbery and the guards' use of what was called the heavy gang to extract confessions from innocent people. Nicky Kelly would be the most high-profile and well-known of those who subsequently went to prison, having had a confession beaten out of him by the heavy gang. He was released 4 years later, and the state had to settle with him and a number of other men who were victims of this heavy gang. But what was striking about it, watching it last night, Nicola, and we've touched on this before, is the abuse that the guards visited on people who were suspects but innocent, and also the complicity of the Special Criminal Court. One judge who wasn't really well was asleep for most of the evidence in this three-judge court. So there is a lesson, and I'm by no means am I suggesting that there's any cloud over the guards right now at all. But the system where evidence is extracted by evil means, really, and the beatings that Nicky Kelly took and others, his friends and associates, were horrible. And the evidence was just accepted, rubber stamped by the Special Criminal Court. Away we go. So we have to be careful for using it, particularly where politics might be involved, as it is not in this case.
Well, we always have to be careful. And look, that sort of stuff in the Kerry Babies case and
yes,
and countless other ones that we've heard about what went on was a disgrace. I mean, it was horrendous. I suppose you hope that the guards are more accountable. Nowadays, you see the likes of the Garda anti-corruption unit being set up, which, you know, everybody groans at the idea of it, but I think it's really important. And, you know, the police have to be policed.
Yes.
There's no way that you can have a situation that they can do what they want when they want to people, and putting somebody, taking somebody's liberty is just so serious. And also what it does is when you have a situation like that, if you have the guards behaving like that, which they did in the past, it just affects society to such an extent, because people who are from minority groups or who are from sort of, you know, operating in the criminal underworld or areas where the criminal underworld would be strong, they just live in a belief then that the cops are corrupt, and therefore, you know, why would you bother following the law? And you have the breakdown then of society, really, through the actions of a few.
Yes, and just the other point that it's worth making, and people can watch that RT series, I'm sure, on the player if they didn't see it last night. Many people will have seen episode 2 last night. I think episode 3 next Monday night deals with the Kerry Babies case and the horrors of that. I suppose the point to be made, well, there are two points, really. Outstanding journalists such as yourself, back in the day, other people exposed this abuse. But if you do set up a system where abuse is possible, in other words, that guards could be corrupt and not be found out, and the court itself could just be rubber stamping, we must remember, mustn't we, that this is the state, and at some point the state will do wrong and have enemies they shouldn't have. And we have to be vigilant, I suppose. That's the point I'm making.
Yeah, very much so. And I think on the Special Criminal Court, you know, it is being used more and more for gangland crime.
It's yes.
Like, you know, record levels. A second Special Criminal Court was opened in the last few years, as so many criminals placed before it. I can obviously completely and utterly see the need for it, because, you know, you just, a lot of these people who come before this court, you could not put them in front of a jury because of so many reasons. Not least that there is, you know, they would, their first port of call would be to attempt to intimidate a jury in whatever means they can. But I think that, I think Jerry Hutch has actually had taken a case about the his constitutional rights. He's lost that. But I know when that came up, that there was a suggestion that Helen McEntee, the Justice Minister, is actually running a review of all these things at the moment. And they're reviewing the legislation around the Special Criminal Court. They're reviewing the whole, you know, workings of it, etc. So, you know, that's important too, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And it's just that we don't walk sort of blindly into a situation which we know from very recent experience can be abused and exploited and used by the state and its agents to persecute innocent people.
I mean, absolutely. So obviously, you know, we have to listen, I think, when people who might not necessarily share our political views have their concerns, but we do have to listen and debate and take on board their concerns about things like the, you know, the workings of the Special Criminal Court, and obviously any complaints that are made in regards to the Garda Síochána and how they behave.
No shortcuts in the search for justice, I suppose, might be the slogan.
Indeed.
Nicola, if we decide to campaign. As always, Nicola, we're very grateful to you. Nicola Tallant is Special Investigations Editor with the Sunday World, twice Crime Journalist of the Year, and also, of course, the author of a brilliant podcast, The Witness in His Own Words, which is part of members of the Stand team, and not me, have contributed in some ways too. But Nicola is the person principally responsible for it. Very grateful to Nicola. She has her own podcast as well, Crime World. And if you want to listen to that, we'll be very happy to take Nicola as a guest anytime we can. Nicola, thank you very much indeed for joining us. Thanks to all of you for listening. That's all we have time for now. We'll talk to you soon.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Did you know that Xavi Hernandez used to scan over 8 times in the 10 seconds before receiving the ball? It's therefore not surprising that he rarely lost it. Scientific studies have shown just how important scanning is in soccer. Players who scan more, for example, make twice as many successful forward passes than those who scan less. But training this skill is difficult, and that's why thousands of players trust Be Your Best, the soccer training app in virtual reality, designed to improve players' game intelligence. To learn more, visit beyourbest.com and use code POD20 to get 20% off your first subscription.